Anybody can be beat.
You're listening to Jet Nation Radio, and here are your hosts, Joe Blewett and Brandon Dowling.
And you are listening to another edition of Jet Nation Radio. I am Brandon Dowling alongside with Joe Blewett. And tonight is a big night in terms of the New York Jets and the National Football League. As we get ready for the NFL schedule to be released, we're going to see how the Jets schedule matches up. We're going to look through each week, each game, what it could mean. What I'm hearing right now is the Jets are going to open against the Cleveland Browns and end at the Buffalo Bills. That's what I've heard so far in terms of leaked games. I've heard that the Steelers and the Patriots will open up to start the NFL season, but we're going to jump into the schedule releasing as soon as we get word of it. Probably should be out.
Oh, yeah, Brandon, actually, it came in now, actually.
Well, there you
go. You want me to read the schedule off real quick?
Well, let's see here. Let's dive on over to our good friends at ESPN to check out the NFL. Go ahead, Joe. We're waiting.
All right, we got Browns week one at home. We have Colts next week. I guess I think it's a Monday night game at 8:30. We have the Eagles week three at home. We have the Dolphins at Dolphins the next week on Sunday, and then we have a bye week five. Then after that we go home against the Redskins, and then after that it's at Patriots, at Raiders, Jaguars home. The Bills are a Thursday night game after the Jaguars at home. Then we go to at Texans, Dolphins home, Giants, obviously at Giants. Then we have the Titans at home, Cowboys away game, Patriots, which is a Monday night game, which is the second to last game of the year, and then finish it off with at Bills.
You know, I look at this schedule, and right off the bat, man, the Jets get thrown into Indy, Philly, and Miami with Cleveland to start the year. You got an ESPN game and a Miami-London game. You know, that's going to be very, very interesting. You know, your best stretch of the year, you're looking at Oakland, Jacksonville, Buffalo, and Houston. Even those are tough games. I mean, this schedule right now for the Jets, it looks a little bit tougher than I thought it was going to. You know, at Indianapolis, the second game of the year, that's getting thrown into the Lions' den. Home against Philadelphia. Then you go to Miami and London. You know, when you look at it, you're going to, obviously, the London game, some would not consider it a primetime game, but in terms of the NFL scheduling, it technically is 9:30 in the morning. We'll call it an NFL primetime game. So you have the Colts, that's one primetime. The Dolphins in London, that's another primetime. The Buffalo Bills on Thursday Night Football for the first time, where Rex Ryan comes back to MetLife Stadium, that's prime time. The Dallas Cowboys, that will be a Saturday game on NFL Network, and that is prime time. So one game I see very, very interesting is at the New York Giants, a 1 o'clock game on CBS. You know, that's one of the games I actually thought was going to be, you know, even more, you know, flexible in terms of a national game, and it didn't turn out that way. So, what are your thoughts, Joe?
No, we'll definitely dive into it a lot more after Rich comes on. We'll do some, I guess, we'll do some win loss and things like that, and some of the predictions. You know, it's a decent schedule. You look at really winnable games. You're looking at the Browns. You're looking at the Redskins, the Raiders, the Jags. The Texans should be pretty winnable. Or I'm not saying winnable, the games that we really should win, Titans, but that's about it. I like how they have, what'd you say, four primetime games this year, so that I guess we're getting a little bit more recognition, which is that is nice. You know, there's no really easy strip. You know, the last couple of years, it was, you had the easy strips, you had the Browns, then the Raiders, then even, what was it, a couple years ago, the Panthers and the Dolphins, who basically quit against us. And then you had stretches, you know, last year where it was like, I don't remember, but it was, you know, Lions and then Broncos and then Patriots and then Chargers. So we don't really have too many tough strips, which I like. I like how You know, it's more spread out. I'm not a big fan of the bye week at week five. You know, that's a really early time to rest after 1 month of football. I usually like the bye weeks either later in the season or in the middle of the season. So I'm not a big fan of that, but you know, what are you going to do? They're flying to, you know, to London. And another thing I like too, Brandon, is you mentioned, you know, the London game, which I know a lot of the UK fans, that fan base is really growing right now. And a lot of those guys are going to be up there rocking their green and white. So I'm excited for them to get that game. And it's also a plus for us because it's not really an away game. And you're looking at, you know, a schedule that you're supposed to have 8 away games. But if anything, I think the Jets-Dolphins game is going to be more of a home game for the Jets at Wembley. And then you have the Giants game, which is going to be, you know, about half and half fans. So the schedule is definitely interesting than last year, you know, and we're playing some fun teams. You're seeing Rex Ryan the last week of the schedule, you know, when both teams might be 8-7 or you know, a 9-6 type looking for a playoff spot. Maybe they're fighting out for a wild card spot. I like how they're doing that for the last game. It's definitely a better schedule than last year, in my opinion, and definitely a lot easier.
Definitely. I think you look at the beginning of the year last year, you know, it was to the point where you were facing a Pro Bowl-type quarterback every single week. You know, yeah. Now we're sitting here as you start in the year with, you know, let's look at the quarterbacks you're going to be facing. Cleveland is who knows. Indianapolis, okay, you get Andrew Luck. Philadelphia, who knows. Miami, Ryan Tannehill, you hit the bye. Washington, who knows, then Tom Brady. Oakland, you know, you want to take Carr, okay, we'll say that, but who knows what's going to happen there. Jacksonville, Blake yeah. Borders. You know, Buffalo, then you're going to go against, who knows, E.J. Manuel, Matt Castle. You know, then you go to Houston. Who are you going to play there? Who knows? Then you're going to play Ryan Tannehill. Then you're going to play Eli Manning. Then you're going to go to Tennessee. Who are you going to play a quarterback there? Who knows? Then you're going to go to Dallas. You're going to play Tony Romo, and then you're going to play Tom Brady. And then you're going to go against E.J. Manuel or Matt Castle. So let's look at it this way. So you are realistically playing Andrew Luck. I'll put him in the top five, okay? Tony Romo, I'll put him in the top 15. Tom Brady, yeah. Obviously in the top five. Other than that, you're not playing a top-tier quarterback the rest of the year. You're not. That's one thing. Last year, you played Peyton Manning, Tom Brady twice, you know, Phillip Rivers, Jay Cutler. You played yeah. Aaron Rodgers. You went through murderer's row of quarterbacks every single week.
yeah.
I mean, every single week, it's like the Jets are going up against, they're going up against top quarterbacks, potential Hall of Famers, potentially the greatest of all time, back to back. This year, you don't face that at all. And with the New York Jets yeah. secondary the way it is right now, that has to be thinking, you know, that it's in their favor. It has to be. Because you look at last year, okay, you faced Aaron Rodgers, Jay Cutler, Matthew Stafford, Phillip Rivers, Peyton Manning, and Tom Brady in a row. In a row!
Yeah. Yeah, it was murderer's row with our corners.
In yep. a row. And now, your worst stretch of this schedule, okay, is going to be going against what? I mean, I would go with Tannehill
and
then Eli.
No, I would think it's probably the last three games of at Dallas, New England, at Buffalo is probably the hardest strip of the schedule for the Jets. And you know, you definitely make a good point. You know, you're talking about Aaron Rodgers, Stafford, and all these guys. Like you said, you know, Cleveland is questionable. Hopefully, it's Johnny Manziel. I would love to play Johnny Manziel. You know my feelings on him. You know, Indianapolis. Obviously, they have what, top three, top five quarterback. He's a top three quarterback to me. Philadelphia. Hopefully, it's Mark Sanchez or Tim Tebow now, which would be great to play one of those guys. Tannehill's a decent quarterback. You know, then you have RG3 or whoever that's going to be. Then you have Tom Brady, obviously. Derek Carr, who's going to his second year. A lot of people say, you know, oh, well, he's going to be great. But you look at RG3 in his first year, and we thought he was great his first year. And his second year, he came out and looked like garbage. So, honestly, in my opinion, the second year of a player's career is almost just as important as their first year when people start to figure him out. But like you said, yeah, Houston, Mallett, Tennessee, Mettenberger or Mariota. He's still a rookie. Even if it is Mariota, you have a rookie against Darrelle Revis and Crow. Tony Romo is a top 10 quarterback to me. He chokes in big times. So he's actually pretty good. You're going to ask questions about their run game, but their offensive line is incredible. It's probably number one in the league right now. And at Buffalo, who has a really tough defense, a lot of weapons on offense. You know, it's not a tough schedule, Brandon, but our division got a lot harder this year by leaps and bounds. The Bills are better with getting Percy Harvin, getting some of the guys they did, and getting Rex Ryan as a coach, at least on the defensive side of the ball. And then Miami got Sue, even though they're pouring a lot of money into one player like Tannenbaum used to do a lot with the Jets. That will hit him in the face in a couple seasons, but not now. So the division's harder, but the other part of the schedule is definitely easier. I'm definitely looking forward to, you know, going to the Giants game. I wish the opening game was more of like a Patriots home opener for us, at least a Patriots or a Bills or a team like that. But Cleveland's fine, whatever. You know, you start the season hopefully with a win, and then you get the ball rolling for the team.
All right. Well, joining us now from NewYorkJets.com is Rich Sermonella. Rich, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, guys.
No problem. Thank you so much for joining us. So, Rich, obviously the big news right now outside of the NFL draft is the Jets schedule being released. So I just wanted to get your instant reaction to the New York Jets schedule and your thoughts on it.
Well, I probably would be the last person to ask, I'm afraid, regarding the schedule. All I cover, guys, is college football and the NFL draft, and I'm afraid the Jets schedule is completely foreign to me at this point.
Oh, wow. Okay, so you know we'll definitely get into some draft questions then, and I definitely want to thank you again for joining us tonight. You know, I'm definitely in the boat of the Jets drafting a pass rusher with a 6th overall pick, because I feel like the talent really really falls off after the first round and the beginning of the second, and you know there's no guarantees that guys like Eli Harold or even I don't know how to pronounce his name, Odiazua from UCLA will be there, you know, at the 37th pick. So, you know, do you agree with me that the pass rusher is something that they should really look at?
Yeah,
and
I tend
in
to
your,
agree.
In,
God, I'm sorry.
Okay, yeah, I was going to ask, you know, what is your opinion of what pass rushers they should take at 6? Like, what pass rushers are worth the 6th overall pick?
Well, you know what, if you're number 6 in this draft, guys, I think it's a good time if you are looking for a pass rusher, because this is a top-heavy draft. I happen to really like Dante Fowler, certainly not out on a limb in saying that. I think he's the most complete pass rusher. If you're looking for a true edge rusher, somebody could also defend the run. I think he's a complete defensive lineman coming out of the University of Florida. But there are other options. I don't think he'll be there necessarily at number 6. The fact that you now have some question marks about Randy Gregory hurts, and I don't know what your guys' take is on it. I know a lot of people poo-poo it. Oh, it's marijuana, and it's used a lot in the league. But the concern that I have is, at this stage of his career, the pivotal time, he's headed to the NFL, he knows that his draft grade could sway in either direction, really have to question his character, that he would put himself in the position that he's in right now to potentially slide. Everything really hinges on how the organization views Marcus Mariota, and I think there are a lot of teams throughout the NFL that are asking themselves that same question. Is this truly a franchise quarterback, or is this someone that we could take in the first round that eventually gets labeled a bust?
Yeah, so that's definitely a great opinion. I definitely agree with you. You know, I feel that the Jets can maximize the value of their picks in the third and the fourth rounds by picking wide receivers and running backs, because obviously we both know, and especially you, you know, both of those positions are extremely deep. And the third and fourth round, you definitely get great value. You can see running backs like Coleman, Yeldon, Langford, Cobb, David Johnson, and even receivers like Lockett, Hardy, Green, Montgomery. And, you know,
no doubt.
I could keep going.
No doubt. I completely agree. Yeah. And listen, I think there are some special skill position players in this draft. I think Amari Cooper is a Pro Bowl wide receiver early in his career. I think the same potential exists for Kevin White. Todd Gurley, who fell off the radar when he was injured last year and missed the second half of the season for Georgia, to me, and I know this might sound like hyperbole, and it's going to probably be challenged, I think he's the best back to come out of college since Adrian Peterson. I mean, he has an elite combination of inside running ability, the ability to bounce outside. This is a kid who is big and physical and yet was taking kickoffs back for touchdowns in the SEC last year and the year before. So this is a special player. Melvin Gordon, terrific. But to your point, I agree. I think when you're at number six, even at number 37, I think you're better off getting players closer to the line of scrimmage. Maybe that quarterback, if you think one is valuable enough that high at number six. But there's always so much depth in terms of running backs and wide receivers. I think that is a position that should be built later in the draft. If you surround good running backs with good talent up front, they're going to get their yards. So I think you bring up some very valuable points.
Okay, so now, you know, moving on from the running backs and the receivers, a lot of Jets fans want a quarterback of some sort, and if they don't get a Mariota or Winston in round one, they're looking at guys like Bryce Petty, possibly in the third round, or Garrett Grayson in the fourth. Do you think that it's worth, you know, taking a guy like Petty in the third or Grayson in the fourth? Or do you think these guys are not even worth that high of the pick and they're just being, you know, overvalued because of how bad of a QB class this draft actually is?
Yeah, it is pretty weak. I would throw Brett Hundley in that similar category. These are players that had a tremendous amount of success in college. Grayson at Colorado State, Petty at Baylor, Hundley at UCLA. How well they project to the NFL is a big question mark. And what we're finding these days is there are so many prolific quarterbacks, Mariota, another good example, of players that are, you wonder if they're system-based. They're able to spread the field out. They have such advantages over opposing defenses that the big, gaudy statistics are almost a foregone conclusion. I'm going to throw one more name out to you, a player that I really like. He's been inconsistent, but from a raw physical standpoint, he is a pocket passer, I believe, with a high ceiling. He's Sean Mannion out of Oregon State. He's kind of in that next tier, maybe the sixth, seventh best quarterback in this draft. You probably can get him in the middle rounds, but he has a big presence. He's a tall quarterback, has a strong arm, played extensively throughout his career. The inconsistency can be a little bit maddening, and I know Mike Riley, the head coach, former head coach of Oregon State, would really scratch his head perpetually because there's so much talent there, but he never was able to reach his full potential. I think he's a player that's worth a fourth round, fifth round type, that area, for a team to take a Sean Mannion, could be very pleasantly surprised with his development in the next couple of years.
Now, in terms of the Jets being at six, obviously a lot of people, you know, think that in the top six, you're in the top 10, really, that you can really get a playmaking type player. Now, one guy that I look at is Randy Gregory, and obviously that his draft stock has fallen because of the off the field issues and, you know, getting the positive drug test at the combine. Do you think that if somehow, some way, you know, that, you know, could you put him in the category of one of those players that, you know, falls in the draft that, you know, could be a steal for a team that picks him up, you know, almost because of the off the field issues, like a Dez Bryant or something along those lines? You think that
Randy Moss, if you go far enough back, sure. No question about it. I think, listen, he, in terms of pure talent, guys, he is a top 10 type of a talent. I mean, he has a very long frame. He's explosive. He gets off the line of scrimmage very quickly. If he can add some weight, I still think he's a little bit on the skinny side to be a true three-down type player. But if he could add some weight, I don't think he's going to lose much in terms of agility and explosiveness. This is a player who I believe has a higher ceiling than, you know, let's say a Vic Beasley. If you put those two players side by side, the ceiling is higher from a physical perspective with Gregory than it even would be for Vic Beasley, who I do like as well. But again, the character issues, and again, I've talked to a lot of fans, I've talked to a lot of individuals who say, come on, I mean, you know, a lot of people are using, he'll know when to use it, when tests are, you know, being done. That's not the issue for me. For me, I really have to wonder, if he doesn't have his head on straight now, as he's preparing for the draft, I really have to wonder if this is someone who's passionate about his career, and will he continue to be passionate once he's being paid a hefty NFL salary?
Okay, so a few months ago, it really seemed like Shane Ray was a lock to be a top 10 pick, and it seemed like a guy like Bud Dupree was a, you know, a late teens mm-hmm. to mid-20s kind of guy, and now it's almost the complete opposite where you have Shane Ray falling and Bud Dupree, you know, potentially cracking the top 10. So can you talk about the fall of Shane Ray and the rise of Bud Dupree?
Yeah, I have to say this is one that has not shocked me. I was a little bit dubious when it came to Shane Ray being talked about as a, you know, number five, number six, number eight, clearly a top 10 type pick. Here for me is the reason why, guys. I look at Shane Ray as I take nothing away from him as a pass rusher. He can be dominant at times, proved it in the SEC while he was with Mizzou. I'm not sure if he's a three-down defensive lineman. And if I'm taking someone in the top 10, he has to be on the field first, second, and third down. Now, in the case of Bud Dupree, I was a little bit surprised when early chatter was coming out in January and February, people talking about him being late first round, could even slip into the second round. If you look at how well he moves for a 6'4", 270, 275-pound defensive end slash outside linebacker, that is a player who is an every-down player. He's still a little bit raw. I think he has to work on his technique and his fundamentals, but that will come once he gets to an NFL team. Bud Dupree has been moving up, should be moving up, and really might sneak into the top 10. He might be one of the surprise picks a week from Thursday.
We're talking with Rich Sherminella from now. Rich, last question before we let you go. Push comes to shove, the NFL draft, who do you see the New York Jets taking?
You know, I don't want to waffle because I've been saying Mariota all along, and I'm going to say it when I'm with the Jets next week in Florham Park. I happen to think that, you know, there's an opportunity. I think he is going to slip. I don't think he goes in the first five picks. If the Jets are sitting there, I don't know how much Todd loves him at this point. I don't know how much the staff loves him in terms of being a franchise quarterback, and he could be scary as heck in terms of his transition to an NFL, more of a pro-style offense. But if you're looking at his potential, the character of this kid, the athleticism, the trajectory that he's gone on as a passer, I have my doubts, guys, but I think it might be scarier not to take him than it is to take him. I'll say Mariota, plan B, would be the best pass rusher on the board.
Well, Rich, I want to thank you so much for joining us, and it's definitely going to be an interesting one, as it always is on draft day.
It is Christmas in late April. It is a lot of fun, isn't it?
All right, Rich, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
All right, that was Rich Sherminella from NewYorkJets.com. So, Joe, I mean, you're the draft guy, so why don't you dive into what he was talking about? Break it down for us.
With what, Mariota? Is that what you
Everything.
Want me to start with?
Come on, recap. What are you new here?
No, I definitely see his point. First of all, about Bud Dupree and Shane Ray. You know, Bud Dupree is a guy who, you know, runs a 4.56 and is 270 pounds. Well, he's technically 269 pounds. Who can play? You know, he played D tackle and D end and played linebacker at points, standing up. So he's very versatile. He's very raw, but I definitely see him as a more valuable pick than Shane Ray, a guy who, when you watch him, he gets eaten alive in the run game. Even it doesn't even have to be a big left tackle. It could be a bigger tight end. And he can get completely destroyed just because of the combination of you know, athleticism and power. And every single tackle and the tight end and guard in the NFL is 20 times better than ones he's going to see in college when he was playing with Mizzou. So, you know, I didn't see him as a top 10 pick either. That scared me a little bit. With Mariota, you know, that's the problem with all this that I have is, you know, In my mind, you know how I feel. I want Fowler, I want Beasley, or I want Cooper. That's what I've been saying this whole entire time. And I feel that if a guy like Mariota is taken in the top two or somebody trades up for him before we pick, and we get to choose, you know, one of those guys out of Beasley, Cooper, or Fowler, then we'll really win this draft. And it's really a good draft because all those players can come in and can make an impact from day one. But I definitely see his point about Mariota. You know, if the Jets pass on Mariota, they take a guy like Dante Fowler or a Beasley or whoever's available, and they turn into, you know, an 8 to 9 sack a year guy, which is good, and that's definitely solid, and I would love that. But then if, you know, the Bears or the Rams or the Texans take Mariota, and he turns into, you know, it doesn't have to necessarily be, you know, Andrew Luck, Phillip Rivers, Tony Romo, one of those type of players. If he turns into an Alex Smith or Colin Kaepernick, which is a decent quarterback, maybe he'll slightly below decent in this NFL. You know, that's all the Jets need right now with their defense and with the weapons on their offense. I know there's some problems with the offensive line and maybe a home run hitter in the skill positions. But if he turns into an Alex Smith or something like that, and the Jets pass on him, you know fans are going to get after the Jets forever. So I definitely see his point about passing up on him and him becoming something. But I still rather take Fowler, who is definitely my guy.
You know something? Honestly, I think if the Jets are really not sold on taking Marcus Mariota, I think they're going to trade that pick. I do. I think they're going to trade that pick. I think there are so many teams that want Marcus Mariota so bad. And could you imagine if all of these rumors about Phillip Rivers and the San Diego Chargers are true, and that Phillip Rivers is, you know, wants out of San Diego, and the Jets are sitting there at 6, and all of a sudden the San Diego Chargers call them and say, look, we'll package you Phillip Rivers and, you know, something else along with that for your first-round pick, and they want to go get Marcus Mariota, and they want to make him, you know, their quarterback for the future, and they're done with Phillip Rivers. Man, I would jump all over that in a second. If you could tell me about, you know, getting it, you know, moving down in the draft and adding a player like that, I'd be all over it. I honestly think if the Jets aren't sold on Marcus Mariota, that you could potentially, if they're sitting there at 6 and Marcus Mariota is still there, they hold all the cards for the Eagles, for the Bears, for the Chargers, whoever wants to move up and has pieces to trade, Sam Bradford, okay, Jay Cutler, you know, any of those pieces, if these teams really want to move up, okay, the Jets are going to sit there at 6 and say, you want them, come get them, what are you going to offer? And if a team is willing to sell the farm for him at 6, you take it, you run with it, and you move on. That's just my opinion on it.
Yeah, you know, and honestly, like I said, if Mariota's not there, you know who I want. But if Mariota is there, and even if a guy, maybe not a Fowler, because you know how infatuated I am with Fowler, but if a guy like Beasley or maybe a Cooper's there, and somehow a Mariota's there too, I'm not saying that all three of them are going to be there, but if it's either of the two and Mariota, you know, the Jets can hold other teams ransom. They're going to say, basically, you know, either we're going to pick them, or you're going to offer us multiple first round picks and maybe a third and a fourth, like the Browns. If they can move down with the Browns and get the 12 and 19 and possibly a third and a fourth, because yeah, that might be a little bit over on the trade, the trade value chart. But when you're talking about a franchise quarterback, it's all thrown out the window, and you can get extra picks. Look at the Redskins and the Rams a couple of years ago. So if we can move down to 12 and 19 and give up Mariota, and then you're looking at a player like Bud Dupree, who we've talked about at 12, and then you're looking at rebuilding offensive line with a guy like Pete or Clemmings at 19, or even maybe a guy like Flowers, and you're rebuilding, you know, the offensive line slowly, which is something that the Jets need, you know, Brent, other than, you know, maybe outside linebacker and quarterback, offensive line is probably the second or third need. So if you can grab an outside linebacker and an offensive lineman, I would definitely do that, but they definitely have to consider Mariota. But, you know, I saw a good quote, and I actually forget who it's from on Twitter. I'm not sure if it was from a draft guy or even a fan. But, you know, it made a lot of sense because the Jets have the stars at the top of the roster. They have the Brandon Marshall. They have the, I'm not calling him a star, but Eric Decker. They have the Revis. They have the Cromartie. They have these guys who are stars. They just got to fill out the middle of the roster, you know, the 25 through 40 kind of range, even, you know, maybe 15 through 40. So if they can get two starters in the first round, and then you're still looking at, you know, the second round, you can be looking at a Beckham at wide receiver, and in the third round you could be looking at a Duke Johnson. You know, this draft will be a complete success. I know it's not the sexy thing to trade down in the draft, but over the course of time, you know, look at the Patriots, how many times they've traded down, and look what they've done in the last 10 years. So if they can trade down and get 12 and 19, I would be completely game for it, as long as my boy Fowler's not there.
I honestly think that if the Jets If the Jets don't have a guy right now sitting on the top of their draft board that they are all in on, meaning that, you know, they should be sitting there having that one guy that they're praying comes down to them at six. If he's not there and Marcus Mariota is not that guy, then I am packaging those picks and I'm finding a sucker. That could be a sucker pick for somebody to trade away a bunch of draft picks, to move up in the draft, and then all of a sudden the Jets are sitting pretty, and they could even get a franchise quarterback out of it like a Phillip Rivers. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the schedule and more, you know, dive into more of these primetime games along with how we think these stretches are going to go. Much easier schedule than it looks like than last year. Obviously, when you finish 4-12, that's usually the case. Back after this. You're listening to Jet Nation Radio.
Pack it up, pack it in, let me begin. Pack in the wind, battle me, that's a sin. I won't ever slack up, punk you better back up. Try and play the role and you're the whole crew will act up. Get up, stand up, come on.
Are you a business trying to get the word out about your goods? Or an organization seeking to make the world a better place? Or a band promoting a new tour or debut EP? How do you keep up with the ever-evolving world of social media? Craft your message and make sure it gets to the right people. The answer is the Strategic Peacock. The Strategic Peacock takes pride in helping organizations create and implement online strategies that appropriately target the right audience with the right information, using the right media. From mobile to multimedia, the Strategic Peacock will enhance your online presence. Visit strategicpeacock.com to develop the right web strategies for success.
Hi, I'm Allie, and I'm here to talk about a serious problem. Your children are listening to bad music. They go home, turn on the radio, and get down with their bad selves. You think it's harmless. You think it's just them being a teenager. You're wrong. Nothing is as harmful or addictive as bad music. Soon your kids will start thinking bad music is good, and the world will be filled with only bad music. So talk to your children about the dangers of bad music and tell them about the cure, Indie Outbreak. Indie Outbreak features a huge selection of great indie artists fighting against the bad music plague. Good music to save their minds. Join with us at IndieOutbreak.com, and together we can help stop the spread of bad music.
New music.
Are you an independent artist? Do you struggle with getting music out there without burning a hole in your pocket? The Indie Outbreak is the perfect radio show for you. Broadcasted around the world, heard by thousands of incredible fans, always on demand. You can be too. Interested in being part of the outbreak? Go to IndieOutbreak.com and click the Submit tab for details. Be part of the epidemic sweeping over the world. Indie Outbreak. IndieOutbreak.com.
Amazing.
Anybody can be beat.
You're listening to Jet Nation Radio, and here are your hosts, Joe Blewett and Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets.
And we are back off the break here on Jet Nation Radio. And joining us now is a dear friend of the program, is good old Glenn. Glenn, how are you?
Hey, guys. How are we doing tonight?
Very good.
What's up, Glenn? I haven't heard of you in a while.
So what do you want to talk about? Dive into it.
Draft and schedule. Two things that popped out at me that I thought were pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. One scenario I haven't heard mentioned, and I think that it's one that the Jets could be faced with, because as much as we talk about taking best player available, because, you know, everyone always feels like it's the best way to go, there's obviously limits to that. You know, if the best player available sitting there at round three is a center, you have Nick Mangold, you're probably not going to do that. But a similar situation with all the corners they've added with, you know, Revis and Cromartie and Screen and the guys they already have with McDougal and Milner and Walls and Williams. What do you do if you're the Jets and you're sitting there at the top of round two and you're on the board and Peters from Washington is available, who some people are saying might be the best corner in the draft, but will fall because of character concerns? What are your thoughts on that? If you're the Jets, second round, best corner on the board is staring you in the face, and right now you have seven guys on your roster who can play.
Go ahead, Joe. Okay, well, you know, it really depends. It depends, obviously, what they take in the first round. It obviously depends on how it all falls out. And I actually seen something very similar to that with Peters falling to the Jets in the second round. You know, would you take him? I think in that situation, what I would really do would be to look at to trade out of the pick, just because if you take a corner, I know it's Peters, and I know if he didn't have some of the off-the-field problems and all that things that are going on with him, he can potentially be a top 15, top 10 pick, because in my opinion, he probably is the best corner in the draft. It's a close tie between him and Trey Waynes. I know Trey Waynes has a little bit of he has some problems reading a defense and little things like that you can nitpick, but I think that Marcus Peters is definitely 1A or 1B. So if he's sitting at the top of the second round, I think I would look to trade out. I just, you know, where are you going to put him? You're going to put him behind D. Milner or Dexter McDougal is going to be our fifth corner. You're going to waste a second round pick for him. I think it's more of, you know, not technically best player available. I think it's more like best player available at a position of need. So if you see a wide receiver there, like a Beckham or like a Strong or one of these types of guys, I would rather take one of those guys. Or if you see a tackle fall, like a Clemmings, I'd rather take one of those guys. But to answer the question, I think I would trade out of the pick. What about you, Brandon?
You know, I look at it, you know, in this draft, I think the Jets really have to solidify a bunch of positions that obviously that they're going to come down to in terms of depth. I think the cornerback situation, I don't see the Jets adding another corner anyway. I think that they've put so much money invested into it that I don't see how they add anybody to that position. But, you know, in terms of trading out of that pick, I mean, it all depends on what they do with their, you know, what they do with the first overall pick. I mean, what direction they go in, you know, do they go offense? Do they go defense? Do they trade out of that pick? I mean, the entire draft could reflect what the Jets do with their first pick.
Also, Glenn, we can't let you get off easy. You got to tell us now what you would do if that situation happened.
Well, honestly, I think the thing that makes it interesting is looking at the deal that they signed Cromartie to. Because if this guy is a potential 1A corner, Cromartie is a guy they can cut after this season with no cap hit. So do you go with Revis and Cromartie? I mean, obviously you have Milner, who's played well at times, but he's been so injured that it's really hard to say we're going to rely on him to be the guy in the future. So I would be tempted. I would be tempted to look and say, look, Cromartie's going to be 32, 33. The guy, he's a great player, but so much of his game relies so heavily on speed that the second he loses a step, he's not going to be anywhere near the player he is. He's not strong in run support. Everybody knows that. But, you know, again, great upgrade over what we had last season. But based on his skill set, any guy like that is you know, can completely fall off a cliff production-wise from one year to the next. I don't think he's a guy where you're going to see a slow decline. I think he's just going to go from being a top-level corner to a barely serviceable corner from one year to the next. And if that happens in 2 years and he's still on your roster, are you kicking yourself if you didn't take the best corner in the draft in the second round? So it's an interesting scenario. I wouldn't hate if they took him, and a lot of it would depend on what's on the board, you know. Of course, everything we're doing at this point is speculating, but I'd love to know what the Jets think of Bruno Giacomini. I mean, the guy struggled on and off at times at tackle. He wasn't terrible, but he was replaceable. He didn't play at a level where you say, we're set with this guy. I mean, right now they've got 15 offensive linemen on the roster. Obviously, Mangold and Brick are starting. For the money they gave Carpenter, he's starting. You would have to assume that Giacomini is at least penciled in to start at right tackle. So right now they've basically got one open spot at right guard and about 11 guys on the roster, on the offensive line, who don't have a position. And bringing back Willie Colon, who knows? He's an older guy, but if he bounces back a little bit, he might outplay some of these young kids. So it really depends on what they do there. I think that should be the next area they need to address is that offensive line. They weren't as bad as advertised last year, but the quarterback situation still so unsettled, if Geno doesn't progress, he's done. If Fitzpatrick is Fitzpatrick, which is a, you know, slightly above average quarterback, you're going to need to get him that protection so he can get the ball to these receivers they brought in. So interesting scenario, but also wanted to touch on the schedule. I heard you guys talk about it, and obviously, I mean, we knew before it was released that it was going to be nothing like last year's schedule, because that was just a monster. I mean, that, looking at that schedule was depressing, and it only got more so as corners were getting hurt and going down and going MIA. You just knew before the season started that if everything didn't go perfect for that team, that it was going to be a 4-5 win season, which is obviously exactly what happened. The thing I like about the schedule, obviously the game in London, I'm sure a lot of Jets fans are going to make the trip out there. I'm planning on going, and it's nice to go to a game that's going to be so far away, but, you know, a neutral site, but it's not going to count as a home game. It will be for the Dolphins. And then with the Giants,
exactly.
Every fan base, Jets, Giants, no matter what team you support, every team has their casual fans that are more than happy to put their tickets on StubHub or secondary market. Jets fans, you know, you can make it to 10, 11 games this year, you know, which is really nice.
Yeah.
You know, your 8 home games, get some secondary market ticket for the Giants. Anybody who's making the trip out to London, and, you know, who knows, a road trip somewhere else that they might be playing. So, you know, much happier with the schedule this year than last, and obviously much happier with what we have on the roster to go against the, you know, some of these teams that we're going to face. But again, none of these runs of Rivers, Manning, Brady, Cutler, you know, like we had last season, that just, you just knew last year that this team, best case scenario, was going to start 2-5 if everything went their way. And obviously nothing did, and it was a disaster. So, you know, if you're a Jet fan and you're looking at the schedule and you're looking at the roster, much more reason to be excited this time, you know, more so than this time last year when it kind of spelled doom from the get-go. So thanks for taking my call, guys. Keep up the great work. Take care.
Hey, Glenn, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
And now we're going to go to Don from Irvington. Don wants to talk about the NFL draft. Don, you're on Jet Nation Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, guys? My first time calling in. Been listening to
What's
you
up,
for the past few weeks. It's interesting with the draft. I keep going back and forth as far as offensive linemen, and I'm kind of going back to it now because I think about the Dallas offensive line being so strong because they drafted some linemen the last few years early and making that a strong line. And we did that earlier on with Tannenbaum getting Mangold, obviously, and DeBrickishaw, really strong up front. That we had some veterans, obviously, that were real good. I don't believe our veterans that we have now on the line, as far as Colin or whatever, is all that great. He's on the downside. He had a lot of injuries. And I know they've drafted a couple of linemen before. They were kind of raw, so they could be improved, but what I hear about this guy, Brandon Scherff, he sounds like they're putting him on the level with Zach Thomas. And if we can get somebody like that, I mean, that would be great. I mean, as far as running and having protection for throwing the ball to the receivers that we do have, which we upgraded, and possibly can, you know, maybe draft a receiver maybe in the second round as opposed to the first round. I think that would be a good look. Now, obviously, we need a pass rush, but really with the pass rush, pass rusher is cool to have, but being that we have solidified our corners again, the Bowman likes the blitz. So it's not a real – if we would have had it last year, we needed it last year because we didn't have no cornerbacks. But this year, with blitzing that's going to go on, with the cornerbacks that we have that's going to be able to allow time for the line – and blitzing to come to the quarterback, I really don't see it as a real, real big thing. It's good to have, obviously, but I'm so scared because I still have Vernon Golston in my head years ago when we picked him, like, what, around the 6th pick or something, and he turned out to be nothing.
No, yeah, it was the 6th pick,
yep. Yeah, you know what I mean? I keep having flashbacks of that, and I'm like, I don't know, you know what I mean? I think we might be okay as far as the cornerbacks, and our defensive line is already one of the best as it is, and plus we're going to be blitzing probably a lot more. I think we'll be able to disrupt, you know, the quarterback as long as we can keep up as far as the run is concerned. I'm looking at that offensive line and saying, look, if we can upgrade that offensive line, take this guy, Brandon Scherff, I think that might be it may not be sexy, but when the season starts and you see this guy knocking down people and protecting the quarterback, then you're going to be – then everybody's going to be excited about that. That's just – how I feel.
Yeah, you know, you look at Scherff and you try to find film online. I believe he's the only, you know, offensive guard or offensive tackle who actually has a highlight film of him just completely destroying people. But you know, the thing with Scherff is he's an offensive guard. He doesn't project well to be a tackle, and I'm not sure. I get your point about Zach Martin. I get your point about you know, the Cowboys and how they built their offensive line. But with the top of the draft being the way it is, where it's basically a quarterback, you have some defensive end. Obviously, you have Leonard Williams. Then you have the pass rushers. Then you have Amari Cooper's and White. I just really don't think that a offensive lineman is worth the sixth pick right now. I think in the second round you could be looking at
maybe
guys
trade
like,
down. Yeah,
yeah. Oh,
no,
that's what I thought. Exactly. That's what I was talking about with Brandon before. Is a potential trade down to 12 and 19 with the Browns. You take a guy like Bud Dupree at 12. You take a guy like a Pete from Stanford at 19. That's definitely a good formula because you look at the offensive line. And obviously Nick Mangold is still, in my opinion, he's a top five center. You have DeBrickashaw Ferguson, who's
going down,
left tackle man. Right now.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, no,
decent,
he's definitely
but he's
going,
not
definitely,
like he was before.
Exactly. He's definitely going down. Left guard is another decent guy with Carpenter. And then at right guard, you're really looking at, you know, Dakota Dozier, Ibushi, or somebody like that. But if you can bring in, you know, in the second round where I think there's good value too, if you can bring in a guy like Ogbuie from Texas A&M, if he falls, or Jake Fisher and move them inside, or even maybe you take a Jake Fisher, stick him at right tackle, and then you kick a Giacomini inside because you see all of Giacomini's problems with speed rushers. So, you know, I definitely see your point about that, but I really think with the defensive linemen, or not the defensive linemen, the outside linebackers, you know, other than the Vic Beasleys of the world, who I know you say it scares you because the last time the Jets had a sixth pick and, you know, and saw a guy really rise because of a, you know, the combine because of Vernon. Yeah, the combine was Vernon Golston. You know, Beasley wasn't as high before the combine, but I would still take him at six. I think as long as a guy like who I'm in love with, Fowler wasn't there, or a guy like Amari Cooper wasn't there, because I still think that we could still take a guy like Amari Cooper, even though our top receivers are obviously Curley, Marshall, and Decker. So you know, I see your point, but with the wide receiver position is, if we can get a guy, you know, like a T.J. Clemmings in the second round, you get a guy like Fowler in the first round. The guys in the third round of this draft you can possibly get, you know, a Tyler Lockett who is, in my opinion, he's 5'9", he's small, but what he offers you in the return game and even as a burner, is he's really valuable. He would be our return guy. You're looking at guys, you know, possibly like a Sammy Coates in the third, a Devin Funchess, a Tyler Lockett, a Justin Hardy, a Rashad Green. There's so many guys in this draft. I think that receiver and running back are the deepest positions. So you could really get a guy in the third round. So I'm looking at pass rusher at the top, or Cooper, or if Mariota falls. I think that taking a guard in Scherff is, you know, too high. But, you know, other than the offensive linemen, you know, who out of the guys I mentioned, and maybe you have a wild card like a Dupree, or maybe you even like, you know, Kevin White more than Amari Cooper, who do you think the Jets will take at six other than offensive linemen, if that's, you know, not in their playing cards?
Well, I do believe they're probably going to go with a pass rusher. If Mariota's there, I do believe they'll probably take him if they can't. I think they'll try to trade that if he's still there for anybody that's really hot for him and try to get some more draft picks and assets. But if they don't get blown away, they'll probably take Mariota. But, like, yeah, I'm with you. I think they will probably draft one of the pass rushers that's high on their board, as long as they're high on their board. If they're not high on their board, I could see them trading out of the pick and moving down a little bit and picking up some more picks.
Yeah, no, it's definitely going to be interesting. Brandon, what are your thoughts about our little conversation there? It's definitely a very interesting situation with, you know, the offensive line, which obviously needs to be rebuilt. And you honestly, you make a great point that with the defensive line, you have Wilkerson, you have Sheldon, you have Harrison, and you even have a guy like Copels, who I think will thrive under Bowles. You have a guy like Pryor, who's going to be in the strong safety position, who will blitz. I guarantee you that Pryor will be blitzing about 50% more than
he's going to be in the right position this year. He's going to be in the right position as opposed to...
Yes, thank you.
I don't even understand why they had took him out, a rookie having to play a position he would normally didn't play in college. It didn't even make no sense to me, but at least he'll be in the right position, so I do expect him to be a lot better too. And then you got the veteran safety that they just signed too from San Diego.
Gilchrist.
Mm-hmm.
No, yeah, I'm with you on both of these guys, man. I think it's very, very telling to see what the Jets are going to do. Obviously, the conversation is all about Marcus Mariota in regards to, you know, what's going to happen if Mariota's there at six. Do you go with a quarterback? Are you going to pick him? You know, are you going to trade? I think if he's not there, then we're all going to sit and wonder what the Jets are going to do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. I think if it goes the way everybody's thinking, he's not going to be there, and it's going to be one of the pass rushes, which will probably be a few is going to be off to the board the way that they're projecting an analyst. You know, a crazy trade happens. And then, like I said, it's going to depend on who's high on the draft board, because if a couple of pass rushes come off before I pick that the Jets may have had high on their draft board, and they still have a couple of people there, but they may not be high, they may look at it and say, well, this guy ranks just like another guy that they may can get either in the second round or the third round, whatever, later on in the draft. So they may look to trade out of that pick and move down a little bit. That's what I think. I think that's probably what's going to happen, is they're going to probably trade out of the pick. I think. I don't know. But for some reason.
Who do you think they're going to trade with, Don?
That's hard. I really don't know. I don't think it's going to be Philly, because they're too far back unless they're willing to give up multiple picks to get up that high. And tell you the truth, it's not – the way Chip Kelly is running things, it's not out of the realm that maybe he will because that's his old quarterback from college. So, you know, he signed Tebow yesterday, so it's really not out of the realm that maybe we can get – trade the first round this year, maybe another first round next year, and a couple of second or third rounders in this year or next year. You know what I mean? Which wouldn't be too bad. I don't really want to move that far down, but if we can get there first round next year and they have a horrible season, that'll be a great pick. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, definitely.
I think
so, too. The thing with trading down, though, I think the really only thing with trading down is obviously, you say, you know, the only pass rushers I think that are worth taking at six would be a Beasley and obviously a Fowler. But the only way I see any team really trading up to six, because when you look at the value chart, you know, to trade up to six, it's going to cost you. It obviously depends on if you're trading from, you know, 8 or 9 or 15 or 16. But nobody's going to trade up from, you know, 13 to 6 to take Amari Cooper or Kevin White. So it really depends
maybe
on
San
where
Diego.
Maybe San Diego, if
he's still available there.
I'm hoping it's that Mariota falls and then Philly trades for us, you know, and then you're looking at a triple option with Mark Sanchez, Tim Tebow, and Mariota, so you never know with Philly.
That would be so fun if that happens.
Yeah, no.
Now, obviously, won't be fun if Mariota turns out to be something, because then it's like, oh, we should have kept the pick.
Exactly.
You're not going to be nothing in the first year if he keeps getting pulled out of the lineup like Sanchez did when Tebow came a few years ago. You know what I mean? So I can't wait.
No, it's definitely very interesting. You know, you talk about Mariota, and me and Brandon talked about this in the beginning of the show, and I'm not sure if you're listening, but, you know, basically if the Jets decide to take a Fowler or a Cooper and then they pass on Mariota, and it's not like he has to end up being a Phillip Rivers or a Tom Brady, but even if he's a decent quarterback like an Alex Smith, which is all the Jets have needed, you know, in 2009, 2010,
even
now.
Alex Smith, the later years, not the early years.
Definitely. Good point. Not the first couple of years, because he was terrible.
Exactly.
You know, if they pass on him and he becomes a decent player or even a solid player, the Jets are really going to regret it. So it's definitely going to be an interesting time. But in my opinion, I just think that some team is going to get very, very desperate and trade up. And from what it looks like right now, the Chargers, you know, usually there's a lot of smoke screens and things like that from all the things I've been hearing from the different sources. It looks like this Chargers thing might really go down, that Phillip Rivers doesn't want to go to Los Angeles. He wants to move in the South. He wants to finish his career, closer to home, and he's not with the whole L.A. movement thing. So that really might happen. But I think with the draft, you know, you're looking at a Hundley who, in my opinion, should probably be taken in the fifth or sixth round. I really don't see all the hype about Hundley. He literally sees pressure for a second, and he starts running. He has no pocket awareness. I don't like Hundley at all. Garrett Grayson, I'm not a big fan of either. Bryce Petty, I think, is a career backup. He really needs to develop. He has a cannon arm, and he has accuracy. But he – I – do not like, you know, the Baylor system he's coming out of. And then Mannion had a terrible year this year. So with the lack of depth at QB, you know, I just see a team getting desperate and trading to the top six. And then hopefully, like I said, a Beasley, Fowler, Cooper falling to the Jets. So it's going to be very, very, very interesting time for the Jets, you know, in, 8 days and 23 hours?
Yeah, a little bit over a week. It's so long. In a way, I like that it's further down, but in another way, I don't like it. I like it being earlier so we can get it over with and get into these camps.
Hey, well, no.
I'll be at the family draft day Saturday. Will your guys show up there?
The family, I'm not sure. I think I have work on that day. But, you know, honestly, if you can call in after the draft show, and if you ever go to a game, I'm not sure if you can make it up for a game, but we tailgate at the Jet Nation tailgate. So if you ever want to come down, swing by and meet us and talk some football, have some beers, and, you know, eat some hot dogs, then you're definitely more than welcome. But, you know, we're running out of time here, so definitely call in, you know, next week or even after the draft and give us your take on who they picked and what you think about it, because you definitely gave some good, you know, good knowledge to us, and we definitely will – appreciate you calling in again.
Will do. And I'm D Boom Bomber dying on Twitter, whatever. And you know, I tweet every now and again to a lot of the Jet fans and pages. Appreciate it, guys. Have a good night.
All right, thanks, Don. I appreciate it. All right, so Joe, I mean, this has basically been your stage for the past, you know, 20 minutes. So you got 4 minutes. You know, the draft is upon us. Go ahead. Break it down, any last-minute things, as much as you possibly can. This is it, because after this, we're going to talk about who they pick, and then we're going to move on. So go ahead.
Well, we still have another week, Brandon. You know, we have another Tuesday before the draft comes. I don't know if you know that. So, you know, we're going to have a lot more draft talk next week. I'm definitely looking forward to it. You know, I know that you like the draft and you like to watch it. I know it's not your exact forte. You're more of a regular season guy. But we have another week. I'm definitely ready for it. I think next week what I'm going to do is I'm going to write up a little mock draft, not all, you know, 400 picks or whatever the hell it is, 300 picks. I'm not sure exactly what all the picks are. But you know, I'm going to write up a little bit of a mock draft, and then we'll go over it next week. So that will definitely be fun. The draft is just so interesting, because every single year you see something that you're not expecting. You see a trade up for Sammy Watkins, a Deion Jordan. You see Teddy Bridgewater falling. So, you know, we could think of Vic Beasley's going to go, you know, to Chicago by 7 at the latest, or, you know, maybe by 8. But he could fall into the middle of the first, end of the first round, and we could be completely shell-shocked. So, you know, it's definitely a very interesting time. I think I've said my preference right now. It is Beasley, it is Cooper, and Fowler, Cooper, and then Beasley. Just because, you know, you look at Fowler, like Rich said before, he can do it all. He can drop back in coverage. He's very versatile. He can rush the passer. And something I've talked to fans on Twitter with, Brandon, is, you know, you have a guy in Quentin Coples at the other outside linebacker position, and we're all hoping that Quentin Coples isn't dropping in the coverage. He's not jamming receivers, and he's basically pinning his ears back and going to the rushing the passer, or, you know, the quarterback, 95% of the time. So you want a versatile guy like a Fowler who could drop back into coverage, who can stop the run and do all these things. So I definitely like Fowler. You know, Cooper after him, because you look at Cooper compared to Kevin White, and I really don't get the comparison. I understand that, you know, Kevin White he ran a fast 40 time, but when you watch him on the field, he really doesn't run as fast as that. What he run a 4.35. So he really doesn't run as fast on the field, which you really have to look for. He goes up and gets the ball. He has the ball is my mentality. You know, he always fights for it, and you love that in a receiver. But, you know, there's other guys who can do that, like a Kelvin Benjamin, who fall into the bottom of the first. I'm not saying that Kevin White is going to fall into the bottom of the first, but when you compare him to an Amari Cooper, who in 2012-2013 season was looked at as an athletic freak who can go up and get any ball, who can outrun anybody, you know, and then in 2014, for some reason, he polishes his routes up and he learns how to do all these things, and people act like he's an unathletic guy. So So a Cooper who could catch the ball and turn a 5-yard catch into a 20, 25-yard gain compared to a Kevin White who will jump up and get a ball, maybe, you know, create an extra 5 yards. I see Cooper as much more valuable. And Beasley, you know, with my last point, is one of the top pass rushers. His first step is incredible. His speed is incredible. His bend is crazy. He can almost fold completely over to get to the rusher. So he has the questions in the run game. But, Brandon, this draft is going to be awesome. And if we end up with one of those three guys that I'm talking about, or even a Mariota, I can understand the Mariota thing. I'm not the biggest fan of Mariota, but if you're looking at a potential franchise quarterback, and in my opinion, and actually in our opinions both, you know, I think he has to sit for a little while, whether it be 8 games, hopefully the whole entire season, you know, then the Jets take him. And you look at John Gruden this week, who it's another reason I don't think they'll take a guy like Mariota. I think they'll trade back. John Gruden actually said that Geno Smith, this is quotes, Brandon, Geno Smith, as polarizing as he is to most people that I hear talk about him, he is getting better, and he'd be surprised if the Jets pull the plug on this early. He's talking to NFL people around, you know, the NFL circles, and they're seeing a lot of improvement from Geno, and they're hearing that the Jets are actually confident, or slightly confident in Geno right now. So I'd be surprised with the Mariota thing, but Brandon, I am counting down the hours. Counting them down.
Gun to your head, no explanation. I don't want to hear any. I don't want to hear
any. I hate these. We do these every once in a while. I hate it.
This is it, man. This is it. So, who are the Jets picking with the 6th pick?
Can I give an explanation of who's going in the top 5 first? Am I allowed to do that?
No. You're allowed to say who the Jets pick at 6. That's it.
Okay, I'm going to give a quick the first 5, okay? Just real quick, because I don't want to get anybody twisted and, you know, get all mad at me. I think Mariota's going. I think Winston's going. I think Leonard Williams going. I think the Raiders are going to take Cooper, and I think Fowler's going to go to the Redskins. So I'm saying if the Jets are sitting there at 6, no trade-down options, they're going to end up with Vic Beasley out of Clemson. That is my prediction. I think Fowler goes. I think Cooper goes.
Well, I'm going to go with a trade. I think the New York Jets are sitting there at 6. I think
you get these options. You get trade downs, you know, because you think you get all these special options. You can't give me the 6th pick. You get all these other things. It's a bunch. You get A, B, C, and D, and I only get A. I hate it.
Well, remember that the obviously that the talk never stops on Jet Nation Radio. It always continues on JetNation.com. The forums are exploding with new users every single day. You want to talk draft, you want to sound off, go on over to JetNation.com and talk more sports. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Obviously, we'll be bringing more draft. We'll dive into the schedule. It's time to keep going. Fall is heating up. We're getting closer and closer to warm weather, which means training camp. And once we get past the draft, we're going to see a clear-cut picture of who the 2015 New York Jets would be. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. We will see you next week. Thank you for tuning in to Jet Nation Radio. And remember, you can hear us live every Tuesday at 8 o'clock Eastern Time right here on Jet Nation Radio.